Blog Talk Radio.
Let me speak to that person that feels like they lost their worth and their value. This is a dollar bill. Now, if I go to the store and there's something for 90 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, if I go to the store and there's something for 85 cents and after tax, it ends up being 96 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, what if I ball the dollar bill up? Think about it now. Like, I just balled the dollar bill up. Like, so it can't be worth a dollar now. It's probably worth like 95 cents, right? How much do you think it's worth? A dollar. Listen, y'all gotta pay attention. I just balled it up. So clearly it's not worth a dollar anymore. All right. So maybe, what if I step on it? What if I stomp it? I just stomped it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 65 cents, 68 cents? It's still worth a dollar? Okay, what if I ball it up, what if I stomp on it, and then I put it in the trash can, and it's in here with some trash, and it's around some beer, and some gum, and a bunch of other nasty stuff, and some guy off the street pulls the dollar out, unfolds it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 82 cents? And at least 92 cents? It's okay, alright, so what if I ball it up, what if I step on it, what if I put it in trash, and then, watch this, I tear it in half. Think about it now, right? How much is it worth now? A dollar? I could tape it? Wait. Wait a second. I just balled it up. I just stepped on it. I put it in trash. I pulled it out. Then I tore it in half. And you mean to tell me I can pick the dollar up, I can wipe it off, and I can put some tape around it, and it's still worth a dollar? Then why? If this dollar doesn't lose its worth or its value, then why do you feel like you've lost your worth of value? Because many of you feel like you've been stepped on, you feel like you've been pushed aside, you feel like you've been abandoned, you feel like you've been talked about, you feel like you've been abused, like someone took from you, someone hurt you, somebody took advantage of you, and deep down inside your core, you feel like you've lost some of your value. And I am here to tell you today that this dollar still has worth and value. Because there are some men years ago who put value over this life and said that no matter what happens to it, it can still be taped back together. It can still be wiped off. And I am here to tell you that you were created and you're born and you're here and you have life and you have purpose and you have value. And though you've gone through some hard times and though you've experienced some depression and you might be wanting to hurt yourself or you might want to give up, I am here to tell you you still got worth and value. And there is nothing that can happen that can take your worth and your value away. So what you gotta do now is you gotta pick yourself up. You gotta dust yourself off and you gotta keep moving.
Been created.
glory as he shines through you and me.
Glory.
Give him glory.
Give
him honor and praise if you feel.
Welcome to Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and we thank you so much for joining us tonight. We have a special topic, which is, do you value yourself? And we opened up a little different with our music. We had a motivational speech, and the artist that was speaking is Jeremy Anderson. And he was talking about the value of a dollar bill after it has been thrown in the trash, stepped on, ripped in half, and he was comparing it to the things that people go through. And he talked about being pushed aside and just how people sometimes we feel like we've been put down. And he said, you need to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and see your value. Because no matter what that dollar bill went through, that dollar was still a dollar and it was still a value. It could still be used. And symbolically, whatever you have gone through in your life, no matter how high you have been or how low you have been, you are still valuable. So the song that followed was Designer's Desire. And that song is a designer's original. And that song was by Kathy Horry. And I thank Marilyn Yardy for providing that song. And it was a beautiful song. And it talks about us being fearfully and wonderfully made. But God uniquely designed each and every one of us. And we all have our own value. And we're all worthy. no matter what happened to us. So I want to take this opportunity to introduce you to my panelists tonight and all of my co-hosts. We are going to be talking about valuing yourself. And the few questions that I'm going to ask before I open everyone's mic is, do you regard yourself in highest esteem? Do you appreciate yourself? Do you consider yourself worthy and useful to God to use you for his glory? God said that you are of more value than the many sparrows, Matthew 10:31. This discussion is specifically designed for those that have been devalued by others, that don't see your worth. And the purpose of this discussion is for you to see your worth and to help you overcome those areas where you don't value yourself or you don't feel worthy. We all have experienced hurts and pains that made us feel less than, but it's how we overcome. So I want to say hello, everyone. How are you doing? Well, each person, introduce yourself and tell us about you and why you're here and what this topic means to you tonight.
Hello, everybody.
We can hear you.
Okay. My name is Mike Smith. I came on tonight because I've been through a lot of emotional trauma in my life that made me question myself for over the last couple of years. God began to show me just how valuable I really am to him, even if I'm not valuable to other people because of the words other people have said. So I've learned over time that I need to believe what his word says about me instead of what people say about me.
Okay. Now, Mike, can you speak a little clearer or more into your phone? Because it's kind of hard to hear you.
Sorry about that. I had it on speaker. As I was saying, being valuable is important because for a long time I went through a whole lot of emotional abuse from childhood through much of my adult life. And, I used to question my worth, thinking that, people, didn't see anything really in me, so I began to not see things in myself. But over the last couple of years, the Lord started speaking to me and told me how valuable I really am to him, based on Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. And then he told me that, I'm who he says I am, not who everyone else says I am. So I'm working on feeling more valuable every day.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. And I also want to let our listeners know that Mike Smith is the author of a new book that is entitled Yes, You Are. And you just heard a little bit of his testimony. And I haven't been there for his whole journey, but I know enough about him to know that he had to overcome a lot of feelings of being unworthy. And he had a dream to write a book. And this book is full of affirmations in God's word to tell you who you are, to reinforce who you are. So, Mike, I want to say congratulations and thank you so much for not giving up on yourself and for fighting. Many times when we're in abusive situations, we take the things that people say to us to heart, and we believe the lies that they speak to us. And once we do that, it steals our voice, it steals our power, it steals our authority. I say this all of the time, just about on every show, but we have to learn how to take back our voice, our power, and our authority. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for being on the panel tonight. And you will get a chance to meet the rest of our panelists. And we're going to go to the next person.
Thank you, Stacey.
You're welcome.
Good evening, everybody. This is Marilyn Yard. Oh,
that's a great call on you. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay, it's Marilyn Yard. I excited about the topic. I chose the song because I heard the song a long time ago when I was younger, and it kind of put things in perspective for me, just knowing that God is mindful of me, that he created me for a purpose, that each and every one of us, he created originally, just like those things that we value in the world, like pocketbooks and clothes and shoes. Well, we put a tag value on it, and it would say, oh, this is an exclusive, or this is, well, we are all exclusives of God's masterpieces that he made. So I'm excited about the topic, about encouraging others to really see and value who God created you to be, and know that you are here for a purpose, that he has a plan for you, something special, just only that you can do, that nobody else can fill that void.
And that is so true. That is so true. And I thank you so much for sharing the song. And I'm probably going to do a different segment, but I'm going to make it like private, probably do a Zoom. But I want to get a lot of the younger ladies and just play that song, but that whole topic will be based on that song, just to encourage them and reinforce who they are and how they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And any of you ladies that would like to be a part of that, I will certainly let you know. But I want to be in a private, more confidential setting where they'll be comfortable enough to really talk and share. But thank you so much,
Amen.
Marilyn. And our next panelist.
Hi, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Erica Burnett. How's everybody doing?
Doing good, thank you.
Wonderful.
Good, good. This
Doing
is a
great.
Wonderful topic, and it's definitely important to me because at one point I really did not know about anything about value. I didn't know who I was. So I accepted anything in my life. I accepted any type of, you know, bad treatment and, you know, disregard in my life. So this is definitely, definitely a wonderful topic and a very important topic that needs to be discussed openly. So I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm glad to be speaking on this. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And we'll call on Venice Capers, if you could introduce yourself, please. And what does this topic mean to you?
Good evening, everyone. It's a blessing to be here. My name is Venice Capers, a.k.a. Deborah. And this topic is so impactful for me because I had to be resurrected while still alive regarding who I am, because those things that transpired in my life from the age of 2 to 22 was all to destroy my self-image of myself and to give me a false image of self. So that rebuilding process ensues even today. I'm vigilant about it. I'm intentional about it. I'm unapologetic about it. And I believe we all can
Amen.
Support through it. So, yes, that's why this
Amen.
Topic is important for me.
Amen.
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 So I just want to lay the foundation down for this discussion, and it is going to be very interactive. If we have any listeners, any callers that are listening via the internet and you have a question or a comment, please post it on the message board, and we will address your questions or your comments. And if you are listening on the phone, if you have a question or a comment, or you want to address anything that any of our panelists shares, please press 1, and we will open up your mic. And we are going to identify. I love what, Venice, I love what you said about your new life. And it really is something that needs to be addressed. Because somebody has background noise. If you could put your phone on mute, or if you're in the quiet. Okay, thank you. It's real important that we understand that we are new creatures and that our old life, our old way of doing things, we died to that old life and we have been made alive. God has quickened us, resurrected us. So we have a new life in Christ. And when you go through painful things, like everything that happens in our past, it's a part of who we are. It really makes us. It God uses all of it to raise us up, to resurrect us. So if you felt unworthy, if you felt devalued or unappreciated in any area of your life, once you really learn who you are and you grow in that and you overcome that, you're resurrected from that hurt and that pain. So when that lie comes from the enemy to say, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, what do you think you're doing? You can't overcome that. That's where you have to speak to that lie and say, no, I am resurrected in that area, and I am dead to that hurt. I am dead to that pain. I am dead to those feelings of unworthiness, and I am not what people said about me. And a lot of times people judge themselves based on what happened to them. And it's a process that we have grown up with because we was not taught properly. But it's also an opportunity for us to learn how to walk in our new life in Christ. Because when we accept Christ, it's more than just having eternal life. It's learning how to be in a relationship with God. It's learning how to be kingdom citizens in the kingdom of God. It's learning that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And that peculiar people means we are special. We are God's treasures. We are the apple of his eye. So if anything comes to say anything contrary to that, we have the power and authority to reject it. And we don't have to be nasty about it. We don't have to be aggressive, but we can defend ourselves in love and display the fruit of the Spirit and kindly let that person know, I'm sorry, that doesn't pertain to me. So I'm glad that you mentioned resurrected, because every day we need to understand that we are new creatures and we are made in the image of God. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And every day we wake up, we have an opportunity to do something different and to make, you know, things better. If we made a mistake or did or said something wrong, it's a new day to correct it. But the main thing that I wanted to say is that we really have to learn how to see our own worth and our own value. And we can't base that. We can't judge ourselves based on what happened to us or based on what people have said to us. Now, most of us, our foundation has been based on our parents and our upbringing and what our parents said about us, what our siblings said about us, and they laid that foundation. And a lot of times it's a good foundation, it's a positive foundation. But what happens when that foundation is tainted and you're constantly being put down? And you're constantly being told negative things, and you're not being catapulted to, it's like your parents should be your archer, and your goal should be to shoot your children to their next level of success. But what happens when your parents are shooting you in the wrong direction, and the arrow is pointed down instead of going up? That's where we have that inner ability and that inner strength to say, hey, I don't want to go in that direction, even though we may linger there for a little bit. But we ultimately have the choice to say, I don't want to be there. I want to soar up a little higher. So let's just open up the mic, and whoever wants to piggyback on what I said or just share anything that's on your heart, the mic is open. And we do have caller 2600, the mic is open.
Hi, good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing? This is Alicia.
Hi, Leisha.
Hi, Leisha. Hi. This is a very good topic, a very good topic. Couple of things that I was listening to when I was
Can you speak up a little bit?
Maneuvering. Hold on 1 second.
Okay, can everybody hear me good now?
Yes, that's much better.
Okay, okay. Couple of things I was, or key pointers as I was listening to the panel that you have set up is amazing. Is my question would be, how do you redirect yourself when your arrow has been pointed down? A lot has to do with you have to know your worth. How do you get to knowing your worth? You have to surround yourself around positive people. When you're surrounded around nothing but negativity, you have to surround yourself around positivity. And you have to plaster positivity all around you. When you're at work, you have to plaster, you have to write down positive affirmations about yourself to unapologetically tell yourself that I may have grown up in this, but I'm not claiming that title. This is who I am. And you have to reintroduce yourself to people who may have been mishandling you because they didn't know what you were worth when they were handling you. And in doing so, there is a lot of, I wouldn't say like checking, but there's a lot of correction that has to go on as to how people address you and how they choose to communicate to you, because they may know you as the old person. And when you no longer choose to operate and choose to function in that oldness, you have to give them kind of like the manual of how you want to be treated. And if they don't follow that manual, then you like, okay, wait a minute. Now we have an issue because you're not following the manual. Or you feel that it's okay to address me the old way. And if you don't know how to handle me and I'm instructing you on how to handle me and you still mishandle me, then I have the right to remove myself. Because this is a, you are a company that I care not to entertain. And you have to remove yourself and move on. But you have to get up every day and tell yourself how wonderful you are, no matter what your circumstances is, no matter what it looks like. Every day you got to get up. When you show up, the part of showing up consists of you showing up with your wounds. Because that's where your healing is at. If you just show up every day and you just like, oh, I'm good, you're really not good because you're showing up masked. You got a mask on, or you're showing up in camouflage. So you actually have to take off of that, take that off, and then you have to just show up. And with you being around positive people, that helps you, because I can pull a piece of this from her, I could pull a piece of this from her, I could pull a piece of this from her, piece of this from her, and before I know it, I showed up naked. Now I can clothe myself, I can cover myself because of what the positivity has deposited. So that's what I got to say, y'all.
But that's good, because
Amen.
The majority
mm-hmm.
of people have been mishandled. Most people do not know how to communicate, how to really articulate how they feel, because you can get offended. Somebody can say something to you to hurt you, and you don't have to be, like, out of character to handle it because, you know, healthy confrontation. But what do we do when you have been mishandled and, like, everything that Leisha just said? She said all of the right things, but what do you do when the person genuinely don't know how to have healthy confrontation? And I think that's something we need to bring to the table, because a lot of people, they put that mask on, they camouflage because they're afraid to really be themselves. And they feel like, I can't say what I want to say because I'm afraid of being mishandled. And then if they allowed it to build up, you know, it's like piling up. Sometimes their anger is afraid of the other person's anger. Or in their mind, they thinking, okay, I know I'm angry, and I know I may not say this the right way. And if I say it wrong, I may trigger their anger, and this thing could get out of control. So it could go either way. But the floor is open. Did anybody want to respond to what Leisha said?
Oh, my goodness. This is my niece, look, a.k.a. Deborah, whoever you want to call me. Just call me love. Okay? This they ask you, I'm an entrepreneur, and they ask you, your purpose is that which you can talk about all day long. And I can speak about this all day long. And there were so many things that were spoken that's so impactful and relates to the value in yourself and knowing what your value is. And I first understand that we may, if you've been mishandled like I have been, I say 2 to 22, not to sound poetic, that's legitimately real, right? Mishandled by so many, the ones that were supposed to take care of me weren't taken care of, so they didn't know how to take care of me. And I was misused and abused at a very early age. And then I adapted to being misused and abused. So it went from being devalued to then devaluing myself. So if Leisha said, how do you learn how to become? First, you have to recognize. For me, I'll just give my testimony. Hey, hopefully it can help somebody. The pain had to outweigh the pain for me. I wasn't uncomfortable with the discomfort. I didn't know that I was in dysfunction because I was comfortable in dysfunction because dysfunction was what I knew. Dysfunction was what I was taught. Dysfunction was what I was groomed in. Dysfunction was how I was beginning to groom my son. And when the pain started to outweigh the pain and I started seeing the pain in their eyes, I said, something is off. Something is off. And I started to acknowledge and pay attention to the cries that I learned to ignore in the midst of the dysfunction, right? Because something on the inside, there's a Noah on the inside because we are made in Yahweh's image and we're made in his likeness and we are valued and we are the apple of his eyes. There's always something on the inside crying out, let me out. And I finally started paying attention to that whisper, that cry that became a whisper because it was muzzled by the hands and the abuse and the misuse and the And let's not talk about the self-inflicted abuse and devaluing. That's a whole nother topic, like you said, a little bit more intimate one. So to learn how to find value in yourself is first being able to get off the nail that you find yourself on, which for me was removing myself from anything that was familiar to me. I had to relearn what it was that Yahweh did say about me. Because everybody that spoke about this chocolate skin and this dark hair and this pointy, this pug nose, there was nothing positive about that. And I made decisions based off of what was spoken about me, like you said, you know, Stacy, as you stated, and those decisions were beginning to suffocate what I really wanted to be, but I didn't know how. And Leisha talked about being around people that are negative and positive. I don't even know the difference from negativity and positivity in the beginning of this all. I couldn't identify the difference. It was what it was. That's what it's saying. That's where I came from. It is what it is. You feel the hand that was laid to you. Stop crying. Stop whining. Knuckle up, buttercup. That's where I came from. I hope I'm not too raw.
Yes.
I hope it's not too raw. But that's where I came from. So you wasn't taught to pause and shift the trajectory of what was transpiring in your life. You wasn't taught to pause that. So you had to fight your way into the pause. At least I did. I had to fight my way into the pause. And so doing that was painful, but healing hurt. But in that healing, I asked the Father one question. Show me what you see when you see me. And that caused me to find greater value in myself because I started to see not just the good, but I started to see the things that I adopted and adapted to in the midst. So there's work in finding your value. There's work in walking out your value. there's worse than treating people valuable. There's going to be worse. It does sound good just to stand in the mirror and say all these wonderful things to myself every morning. That doesn't do it. I have to do the work for me. So that's what I have to say about what Alicia said. It's an amazing topic. And again, I could go on all night.
But, you know, you have to do the work, and I thank you for bringing that out. The last time we came together, and I mean when everybody was here, I don't know who said it, and it was like, but you have to do the work, and you can't. I mean, you cannot move from, you said, adopted and adapted. That's powerful. So everything that we learn, everything that we get adapted to, we have to, you know, it's like what's normal becomes abnormal. And what's abnormal becomes normal. And we have to learn how to work it. And whatever works for you, do what you have to do. But thank you so much for sharing your testimony. I love the transparency. And we're going to keep this going. Anybody else want to share? Erica Burnett, what do you have to say?
Yeah, I was just getting ready to start talking. Miss Lisa spoke on something that just caught my ear, and it was in regards to, I believe, you know, people don't know how to, show you value or care for you, if I'm correct, that's what she said, something like that, and people don't know how to have healthy confrontation or something of that. A lot of times people, we as people don't have it. So if you don't have something, you can't give it. So if a person is, if they don't have value themselves, they don't know what that is, they can't give it. They can't show you value because they don't have it. We can't give what we don't have. And another thing was about, you know, basically how do you start to even value yourself? Where does it come from? And I believe I heard Miss Lisa say from other people. I don't know if that was Miss Lisa or Deborah that said other people. But, and that's true. You do have that voice on the inside of you, like the Miss Deborah mentioned, that's aching to get out, and it's, you know, it needs help getting out, and that is done through other people. Your Father, the Creator, sends people to you to help you along, to help you get that voice out and to know who you are and to value. So it does come through other people. It comes through the right people, though. It comes through the right people, and it's a process. You don't know, actually, you don't even really know it's happening, and I'm speaking from experience because I had no value. I didn't know what value was. I accepted all kinds of emotional and mental abuse from my husband, from boyfriend, like previous boyfriends and things of that nature. I didn't learn my value until I got into business and became an entrepreneur, and I was surrounded by people who saw what I was worth before I even did. And they consistently fed me with positivity and said, I know you can do this. You got all the tools. You got what you need to do it. And I'm like, what you talking about? What tools? I had no clue as to what they were speaking of. They just started pouring into me and giving me support and everything that I needed, and that's how I found it. It was through other people. So people are really, I mean, God is the source, but God uses people. He works through people to give us what we need. And those who cannot give value, don't sense your value or anything like that, it's because they don't know their own value. And that door has not been opened for them yet. They're not there yet. They're not there to receive. They're still in that process, and God is still working on folks, you know, to get them through that, you know, to that process. But it's definitely a process, and you definitely, I agree with Mr. Boer, you have to do the work. It is an everyday thing because the world will throw all kinds of negative energy at you. They'll try to tell you who you are, who you ain't, where you should go, what you should do on a daily basis. It's a daily fight. And you got to consistently build up that strength to talk to yourself every day, to meditate if necessary every day, to pray and talk to your father every day. It takes a lot to combat what's out here nowadays because you have social media, you have television, you have radio, and all these messages are being said visually and, you know, vocally through your ears. And it's an everyday fight. It really is. So it does take work. And like I said before, everybody is not there yet. You know, so some people need some coaching and some work. But that's all I had to say, y'all.
Well, thank you. That was good. I mean, everybody's contribution, it really makes a difference, and it touches someone. And if anyone is listening and you want to join the conversation, you have a question or a comment, please press 1 on your phone, and we'll be more than happy to speak with you. But I want to share Psalms 139 and verse 14. It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And this is what God says. We are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. And no matter what people say or think about us, it's not going to change the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's not going to change our uniqueness. It's not going to stop our shine. And we all have a light to shine. And once we know who we really are and we tap into that greatness that is inside of us, because God has placed greatness inside of each and every one of us. And the goal of the enemy is to steal that greatness and to make us think that we're less than what God said we are. So what I want to highlight is the spirit of robbery that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When on Monday when I ministered and I talked about the prince of the air, one of the things that came out, I said, who is the prince of the air and what does he do? So he is a liar. And most of us that have received negative words from negative people that spoke negative things to us about us, they were liars. So Satan is the father of lies. So once we receive a lie, the first, and I'm talking like present now. Today, if you receive a lie, if I say, Leisha, your hair is so ugly, I don't like your hair, then your response to me is, well, you're speaking contrary to God's word because he said I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not going to receive your lie. Like, you just really don't get caught up with talking to the enemy, but just understand if it's going against what God said about you, you don't have to receive it. Because the moment you receive it, those feelings of unworthiness, those feelings of doubt and unbelief, they start trickling in, and you start second-guessing what God said. And none of how we view ourselves is based on our feelings. It is not based on what we went through. It is not based on our hurts, our pains, our abuse. It is based on the word of God. God said everything that he made, it was good. So what does that mean? You are a good thing. Everybody on this line, everybody that's listening, you are a good thing, and you are worthy. Not only are you worthy, you are wanted, and you are a winner. Like, God is your personal cheerleader, but he wants us to come into agreement with what he said, and he wants us to get rid of all of the lies that the enemy, situations, and circumstances have spoken to us. So how do we do that? Hebrews 11 chapter and verse 1, it says, lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets us. And we all have a testimony. But I want somebody that's willing to share your testimony. What did you lay aside? What did you have to put off to come into agreement with God? What lie did you believe that stole your identity in Christ, your uniqueness, your being fearfully and wonderfully made? And the reason I ask that question is because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And one of the reasons I have this platform is so that we can have healthy and positive discussions to help people. There are so many people that are struggling, and this conversation is really good, And there's so many topics, there's so many directions that we could go in, because we have people, once you stand on the word of God and you walk in the confidence, your confidence is in God, and you doing what God told you to do, and you're in agreement with what God said about you, but then somebody tell you the opposite. You can't do that. God didn't call you to do that. And it may sting for a moment, and it may make you, especially if it comes from leadership, what did they just say to me? But that's not what God said. But if you get mistreated and mishandled in that area, then how do you bounce back from that? And a good example is King Saul. King Saul saw greatness in David, but he got jealous and envious of David. David started feeling unworthy. I mean, he knew his worth, but King Saul was wearing him down. King Saul threw a javelin at him. How am I supposed to feel worthy in this man trying to kill me? So there are so many ways that we could go, but I wanted to highlight that part where you're in agreement with what God said, and your confidence is stolen from you based on, again, most of the times is what somebody else said, which comes back to the lies. So we have to learn how to recognize the lies and hold on to the truth, because it's the truth that will set us free. So the mask, the camouflage, like when Prophet Deborah, when she shared her testimony, she was transparent. Sometimes we got to get naked, and not sometimes, we have to get naked all of the time. I'm always testifying. I'm always telling my business. But I say private pain for public profit. I know that I went through what I went through to help somebody else. And so we all have a job. We all have a purpose. My purpose is not your purpose. Your job is not my job. But whatever your job is, do it with a spirit of excellence. Do it knowing who you are, and that's what God gave you to do. When Jesus met the woman at the well, guess what? She went at the hottest part of the day because all of the other women wasn't there. The other women made her feel bad, made her feel unworthy. They devalued her. They did not appreciate her. They talked about her. They gossiped. They slandered. They killed her spirit. But she met a man named Jesus, and dig this, she went and told everybody, hey, I met a man. They looked at, you know, the first evangelist. She met Jesus at the well, and her life changed. All of that negative stuff that they were speaking to her, it didn't even matter. She went from unworthy to being worthy, and then she went and shared her testimony and helped somebody else get set free. And if Prophet Wayne was here, he would say, come on, somebody. But the mic is open. And Mike, we haven't heard from you in a minute. You have anything you want to say?
Well, this is Marilyn right here.
Yeah, I'm going to be mad things here in the next 10 or 15 minutes. It's better time for me. But, you know, I agree. I've been through I've been saved for almost 40 years, and, you know, a lot of what you all are talking about and the scriptures that are being referenced, I didn't know those things when I was going through what I was going through, you know, That's when I started believing that, you know, all these things were true. A few years ago, I even put up I dedicated a wall in my house to positive thoughts. I mean, I write, put positive thoughts on a piece of paper, and then I stick it up on the wall. And then I'd say them out loud. Like a lot of I am states. People got to know that they are somebody. They do matter. They're loved. They're very valuable, and they're very significant. And even though I had that stuff up on the wall, I didn't read it every day. So, you know, it never really stuck with me, or I really didn't fully believe what I had put up on the wall because of the things that I had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, you know, now, you know, I mean, you know, I got into a better situation as far as where I live goes, and that's when I started hearing from God telling me, no, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are who I say you mm-hmm. are, not who everybody else says you are. And even now, I mean, I know those things. I'm still trying to process parts of it to mm-hmm. really, truly believe that I am valuable. But it's amazing who the Lord has brought into my life over the last year or two that are kind of reinforcing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. I mean, you know, and to be on this platform is awesome, too, to be able to participate in a topic that's very familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much. Those affirmations work, whether it's the word or whether it's just positive, you know, affirmations, it works. And, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. you can have it on your wall or on your mirror or wherever, and you could walk past it every day and don't even read it. So mm-hmm. you really have to learn how to be disciplined and, mm-hmm. you know, do what works for you. But everybody, let's, like, lighten up a little bit and just have fun while we going, you know, having this conversation. Because me and Erica,
don't
we always like laughing.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
But Marilyn, you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
I don't even know what it was now. Oh.
I don't know where my phone is. Hello? Oh, there you go. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying that for us, for women, for one, and for black women, we have been for years told that we weren't worth something. You know what I mean? Just from our hair is not that great, or our skin tone is wrong, or our hips are too wide, or our lips are too thick. We have been buried under negative talk, negative thoughts, lies, as you spoke of before. So it is years and years of that piled up on top of us. Then you have a mother or a grandmother who, you know, had that same type of thing, so they didn't value themselves. So you see this mom or this grandma who has no value or doesn't really value themselves because they've been told these lies for years. It's very hard for us to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and say, hey, I am something. But I think having that relationship with God is what makes the turn, you know, makes the difference, makes you turn around. Because once you connect with your creator and know, hey, wait a minute. The God of the universe made me. You know what I mean? I'm special. I'm just as special as that pretty bird over there or those fish with all those scales or that tree over there. This is beautiful and powerful as we see his creation. We are part of that. You know, we're part of that process. We were part of that creation story. So I think once you get that, you know, that connection or that plug into the source, knowing like, hey, I came from this greatness. I am great. I think you know, it starts to begin to shift your thinking. As the man thinks, so is he. So if we continue to think what the lies that people have told us and think on those things, oh, you're no good, or you're too thick, or you're too dark, or you're too light, or you're too nappy, or you're too whatever, we begin to believe it. And until we start turning those thoughts to the pure thoughts of what God says about us, those lovely things about what God says about us, we're going to stay in that place. And I think Erica and I think it was the board said that you have to see somebody else doing it. I think when we see Ketanji Brown Jackson coming into the, you know, as a Supreme Court justice, it gives another girl or another black woman or another woman hope like, oh, we can do this. I am as great as she is, or I can be that great, or I can be a Michelle Obama. Not necessarily those people, but gives you something to strive for, that there is something
right.
that's great within me. Yeah. That's all.
Well,
I
that's good. Thank you so much. That's powerful because you're
mm-hmm.
tapping into the bloodline and the generational curses. And I mean, and it's going to go all
mm-hmm.
the way back to slavery. And there are some mindsets that need to be changed. And, you know, if anyone, for everyone that's an intercessor, I'm quite sure God is speaking to you through this discussion. And we all should walk away with many prayer directives or different ways that we can pray. But right now we do have a caller on the line, and your number ends with the last four numbers, 7621. Your mic is open. How are you?
Hi, I'm all right, yourself. And I'm just glad Marilyn invited me. I just want to apologize for any noise in the background because of the kids, but I just felt though I had to share my testimony because I can relate to a lot of the callers on here. I'm getting ready to go through a divorce, 16 years of marriage, and so I understand what it is to feel like not to be wanted or just unvalued, but I like feel like that other people see my worth and stuff like that, and I feel like other people don't see my worth, but it's like, at this point in time, how do I see my worth? You know what I'm saying? Like, forget what other people are saying. Like, how do I see my worth? Like, what do I want to do and stuff like that? So it's like, I'm in a position where it's like, I see it both ways. Like, people see me this way and they don't see me this way. But it's like, now, like, how do I see myself? How do I see myself? What do I want to do? Like, just doing different things. Being like, 16 years of marriage is a long time, and I'm young. Just turned 37 and just not doing a lot of things that other women do that I want to do, like whether that's going to the spa or whatever. I want to do what I want to do, and I'm just at that point. So I just want to share my testimony. The kids are going to already be loud in the background, but I know it's short. But thank you, Marilyn, for inviting me, and I just feel as though that, like, from this, like, calling conversation, like, I can do better. Like, I'm stronger now, and I see what my worth is. Like, forget what everybody else say. I know what I want to do and what I expect now. So, yeah, thank you.
Okay, what did you say your name was again?
Tamika.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Tamika.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. Don't leave yet, because I'm quite sure some of the panelists want to give you an encouraging word, and I'm going to allow whoever wants to do so. It takes a lot of courage to speak up, and we want to love our caller.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Tamika.
Hi, Marilyn. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I just want to say, young man, that, you know, I mean, that's what it's you know, folks like you that have gone through struggles like that are the reason behind why I wrote my book, because I want you to see that you are valuable, you are somebody, you do matter, you are loved, and you're significant to God. You know, whether other people see you that way or not, it's how God sees you that is the most important, and that's how he sees you. You know, we've been talking about you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's never going to change in God's eyes. You know, whether people see that or not. It whatever everybody else sees cannot take away from what God sees in you.
Amen.
Hello.
And Prophet Deborah.
Yes, ma'am.
I know you have a word.
Lisa, oh, my goodness. Tanika is your name?
Yes.
That's her name, Tanika, right? I want to encourage you and to let you know that in spite of what's transpiring right now, this is just a part of the story that if you give God permission, he's going to use it beyond your understanding. He's going to use it beyond your emotional position right now. He's going to use it beyond what you can and cannot see. How do I know? I'm a divorcee. I've been divorced for 15 years. And I remember when the Holy Spirit told me as I was making my bed, because I was comparing myself to why and, you know what is it? and which we often do, the enemy often do. But he had to let me know. He said, just as a garden, and you go to a garden, you see a garden, you see the azaleas, and you see the roses, and you see the carnations. You don't see them fighting with each other about which one is the most beautiful. They each add beauty to the garden. And he said that to me, and I said, that was the beginning of myself. I said, huh. He said, yes, so one woman's beauty or one woman's, a man's desire for another woman over you, if that's what the enemy is trying to make you believe, that has nothing to do with you. And that settled and rest in my spirit. But understand this, Tamika. The only time the enemy wants to tear something down is because he's intimidated of the treasure on the inside. He's intimidated about the treasure, and he uses the spirit of rejection and abandonment to cause us to recoil and hide away from what it is the Father has called us to be and to do. But I am here as a test, and I'm sure I'm not the only woman here, but I promise you, I don't make promises that I know the Lord don't keep. I promise you, if you let the Father use it, he's going to use it for his glory and your good. He has for me. And he showed me that in several ways by not getting caught up with titles and tangibles to believe that I'm somebody. And one of the things the enemy does, it's not so much just what we have been through, but he talks to us about what we are not. You are not this. You don't have this. You don't have that. You haven't done this. You haven't been here. You haven't, you haven't, you haven't, you haven't. And he shared with me what I'm going to share with you. Then look at the tree and forget the tree that we can't touch and ignore the forest that we are amongst. I pray that the Lord opens your eyes to see that the abundance that you still have, as opposed to focusing on the thing that left. And I just want to share that with you because that works for me even today still. I pray that you are encouraged. Please reach out to us. I'm sure Apostle Stacy would share my information. She's free to do that just in case you need some encouragement along the way.
Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. Trust him. He's with you. He hasn't left you. And he's the only one that promised that he would.
And Prophet DeBoer, is perfectly fine for you to give him your website address because somebody else might be listening too, and they can tap into that.
Please, I'd be so happy to. Please feel free to contact me at www. And it's V as in Victor, I N as in Nancy, I S as in Sam. Do I need to repeat that?
No, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's www, V as in Victor, I, N as in Nancy, I, S as in Sam, E as in Edward, C as in Cat, A, P as in Peter, E, R as in Robert, S, .com. It's by newscapers.com.
Okay.
Okay? And we can connect. I look forward to it.
Thank you.
And I'll make sure that you... I'll make sure that you connect and you get all of her information. But Mike Smith, who spoke to you earlier, he just published a book entitled Yes, You Are. So I'm going to order that book for you, and I'll get your contact information from Marilyn and have that mailed to your home. And who else wants to encourage him?
Thank you.
You're welcome. The one thing that I wanted to say to you, I actually have a poem. I am considered the pastor of poetry, and I always have a poem that I share no matter what the topic is. So this is entitled, Who Am I? I used to be his girl. Now I'm God's girl. And listen here. I am a woman that has been loosed, no longer abused by a man that said he loved me, only to use and abuse me. I'm smiling brightly because the only one that is using me now is God. You see, God took my mess and turned it into a message to encourage others on their journey of self-discovery, healing, forgiveness, deliverance. Help with reclaiming their true identity, their self-worth, their goodness, the uniqueness of who they are, fearfully and wonderfully made, a good thing, and helping them to see, tap into, and unleash their hidden potential. to help them reject the lies of the enemy that have clouded their thinking, how they view and think about themselves, that have distracted, deceived, hindered, paralyzed, and prevented them from being all that they can be and accomplishing their dreams. Who am I? I am the ink in God's ink pen, a humble servant that stopped by to let you know that you are worthy, you are wanted, you are a winner, you are good enough, you deserve the best, and it's time to stop settling for less. Do not allow the hurts and pains of your past to dictate your future. Learning to love, value, honor, respect, and appreciate yourself will catapult you to that special place where you can do anything and be anything you want to be. So take off all the limitations, let go of all the negatives, embrace the positives, and know that God loves you because God loves me. I love you, and I need you to survive. And I dedicate that poem to you because you said you want to, like, pamper yourself and you want to go to the spa. And I'm telling you, you are on it. So every opportunity you get, you go to that spa. If you want to get a pedicure or a massage, whatever it is you want to do, take care of you. Self-care is going to be critical for you right now. But you are on a wonderful journey of discovery of who you are and the greatness that's inside of you. So we are all, everyone that's here on this platform, they're here for a reason because they care about people. We don't want anything from you. We just want to see you succeed and be all that you can be. So know that we will pray for you and we will help you through this transition. And Prophet Deborah, she is like, she just loves people, but she will help you through. So you're in good hands. You're in good hands. So God bless you.
Am I on mute?
Hold on. No, you're not, because I just heard you.
Okay.
You want to say something to him?
I do. I want to say that the years that you may have suffered, they were necessary. They were necessary for the person that you are standing tall today. The flower that you are today was planted a while ago. And the nurturing, and you may feel that you are overlooked, and you may feel that, oh, they didn't like your color, or they didn't like the way that you bloom. But it was all necessary, because now who you are, it don't matter what they thought, because you are solid in who you are right now. You can walk away with your head high, not feeling held down by the weight of wondering, did I show up and give what God told me to give? You gave it all. And by you giving it all, you can get it again. God gonna make sure that you get it again. You just have to trust the process. And trusting the process, it don't always feel good, but guess what? Every day you wake up, it's a good day. Because God showed you how fit you were for your seasons. For every season that you went through, he was conditioning you for it. You came out better. You came out wiser. You came out smarter. You came out sharper. So when they see you now, they're gonna be like, hey, that wasn't that's the flower that was planted. Yeah, but guess what? It's too late for them. But it's not too late for you. So you take that, whatever pieces you need to take from that, glean, and you grow, knowing that you did everything that God wanted you to do. You hate for the outcome to be this,
But God knows what's best for you. And if it's somebody that doesn't really value you, God going to show you. All we have to do is just pray and patiently wait, because he's going to show up. Like, And he's going to exit, show you the exit for that, and then he's going to surround you around the positivity that you've been yearning for. You've been yearning for this. You've been yearning for someone to pour into you. You got it. So God is like, check, next. It's check.
Thank you. I want to give you a chance to respond to everyone, because I know your heart is probably like overwhelmed right now with the love. But how do you feel right now?
I feel good. I just hit my phone on mute because the kids are in the bathroom. I feel good, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a female, though. I kept saying, like, I think people kept saying him or something like that. I know my voice is deep, but I'm a female, though.
Okay.
But, no, like, I definitely feel the love from everybody. Definitely good words of encouragement. I've been going through a lot, so this is very helpful. And I just want to thank everybody.
But you're welcome. And listen, just stay connected, because there's no mistake that you ended up coming today. And we will continue to lift you up. I know you have the kids there, but please continue to listen. And at any time, if you want to join, you just come on back in, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And you are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. Our topic tonight is, do you value yourself? For those of you that are listening via the message board, please feel free to post your questions or comments on the message board. And if you are listening, please press #1 and we will grace you on the mic. At this time, Mike Smith is going to book of your words, the 21 gun salute.
What I want to talk about is just how powerful our words are. And I don't think many people realize, everything we say, has an impact. So anyway, our words are powerful. We could start to speak out a thought that enters our mind, or we start out with the thought that enters our mind, and then eventually out of our mouths. And the thoughts only come from one or two places, God or Satan. God's words are always positive. Satan's words are always negative. Our words can build us up or tear us down. And the words we speak to others can have the same effect. And Proverbs 18:21 shows us this, tells us just how powerful our words are, that the power of life and death are in the tongue. And those who love will eat its fruit. I'm sorry, I had a dog barking in the background. And I'm sure many people, everyone on this call, may have heard of what I call a 21-gun salute. And, it's a 21-gun salute. And that's where 7 military members fire 3 shots into the air to celebrate something good or to pay tribute to someone who made an impact. Well, that same analogy can be applied in a biblical sense to our words. So I want you to think of it this way. What are your words worthy of? Are they worthy of 21 angels singing praises to God for them? Are they worthy of 21 demons shooting fiery darts at you? Do your words deserve 21 people shooting guns in the air in praise of what you said, or have 21 guns pointed at you for the hateful and hurtful things you said? Completely different perspective on what we say or think or say, doesn't it? So, and I know I've not always said words that were worthy of a 21-gun salute, and I'm sure just about everybody on this call pretty much has not either. So so that just shows, and that's just a section of what I talk about in my book, that just shows the importance of, you know, we should always strive to speak words of life to each and every person we come in contact, as well as ourselves. So that's pretty much kind of where I wanted to go on that.
Mike, that is powerful. I'm sorry. That is powerful. The 21-gun salute, I mean, I have been at military funerals where, you know, I've witnessed that. But to say the angels, oh, my gosh. And those of you that know the word, Psalms 103 and verse 20, it says, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. In this different translation, it says, praise the Lord in the New Living Translation. You angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. So connect that with what he just said. When you speak God's word, the angels are hearkening to your words. And then whenever we speak, faith is being released. So whether we speak negative, faith is being released. So whatever you spoke, that thing is going to grow, whether it was negative or positive. But think about if we speak God's word, Prophet Deborah, I'm coming out of this thing. I'm coming out of this valley of the shadow of death. You feel me? I feel that thing. 21 angels. Glory. Hallelujah.
You
that is powerful.
So. Amen. Amen. Amen.
One of the things I'd like to say, you know, that's true about the words we speak is, you know, they can create or they can destroy. They can be beneficial or they can be detrimental. They can be loving or they can be hateful. They can build up or they can tear down. They can bring joy or they can bring sorrow. They can hurt or they can heal. They can bring comfort or they can cause pain. They can create success or they can create failure. And it's up to us what kind of words we want to speak to ourselves and others every day.
Well, all right.
So,
that is good.
And one of the things that's going to be in my book I'm writing now is what I call word wars. Which we all know, most wars have been started by words, you know, between countries and stuff like that in the traditional sense of war. And the other side of this is what we had talked about previously was the war in the home, which usually starts with words. So, and I'm going to address that in my next book.
Well, you just keep on writing and you keep on sharing, because that's all right. That was powerful. And anybody you're welcome. How do you handle your words? Are your words building up? Because words are supposed to edify. If you value yourself, are you edifying yourself? Now, I need to improve in that area because I specialize in edifying everybody else. I mean, I do edify myself. I'm at a place right now with God where I don't care what you think about me or anybody else because I know who I am. And it's a very dangerous thing to come up against me right now for my enemies. Not saying that I'm going to do anything to them, but because I know what God says. He said, touch not my anointed. And do my prophet no harm. But when somebody speak ill against me right now, they're speaking a self-imposed curse, and that thing is going to come back to them. So hold up. Wait a minute. Really slow down before you say what you get ready to say. I'm not mad at you or anything because it's a lie. But if you don't watch yourself, you're going to find yourself in the hands of the Lord, you know? And you could talk soft just like that, but some people are just so determined to hurt you. And they don't realize that they're hurting themselves. Faith without works is dead. When we don't speak God's word, how many of you right now, angels are all around your house, but they don't have nothing to do? And they watching TV. They watching, you know, the news. They playing the games with the kids because we're not speaking the word.
Yep.
Give your angels something to do. They have a job to do. They got to hearken to God's word. Keep saying, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, them angels going to be moving. They're going to be bringing it to your remembrance. But our angels, they hearken to the word of the Lord. But we have to practice, you know, one of the shows we had, and Erica was the co-host, and it was about self-love and self-care. And if you get a chance to go to our on-demand section on Block Talk Radio, you can listen to that particular broadcast, but it's so connected to what we're talking about tonight. Because when you value yourself, you fall in love with yourself. And when you fall in love with yourself, you take better care of yourself. It's like you know that you matter. And it all begins really with falling intimately and passionately in love with God. And I know this is a wonderful season where everyone is returning to their first love because we done been through so much stuff. But God is calling us to come closer. And the closer we come to him, the more intimate we going to get with him. And listen, we already pregnant. Our baby's about to shift into the birth canal. Look, some of us done gave birth when all of the rest of the babies coming. But this next level of intimacy with God, if you get close enough, you just might get pregnant again. Mm. But you got to understand how worthy you are and that God want to spend that kind of time with you. Because all of our intimate moments with him is a reflection of the love that he deposits inside of us. And it's that love that is being shared on this broadcast tonight. Because all I hear is love. I don't hear no hate. And that's what this is all about. So I'm going to turn the mic over. I'm talking a lot. So the mic is open.
Stacey?
Amen.
I just wanted to speak to go ahead. I just wanted to speak to what you said about the words that you speak to yourself. Somebody once told me, would you allow somebody else to say that to you? It put it in perspective for me. You know how you tell to yourself, I'm so stupid I did that or whatever. Would you allow somebody to walk up to you and say, oh, that was so stupid, Stacey or Maryland or you so ugly or whatever. Those things that we tell ourselves or the lies that we tell ourselves, will you actually stand there and allow another individual to walk up and say that to you? So that allowed me to check those things that I'm saying to myself, because I'm like, hold up now. Because if somebody walked up to me and said this, we would have a problem. So I had to start checking myself in that way and just putting it through that filter of, okay, I would not stand here and allow somebody to say that negative thing to me. So that helped me to stop saying certain things or catching myself when I began to say certain things to, you know, to know that I'm not going to say that negative thing to myself because I surely wouldn't allow somebody else to say it to me. So that's all I wanted to add is just something to give you, you know, a check for yourself to keep you from saying those things that you would not allow another individual to come up and say to you without a problem.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's good. That's good. And I want to answer. I no longer talk negative to myself, and when I do catch myself, I correct myself. Like, I talk to myself a lot now because I'm still breaking strongholds. But because I value those that are here, any one of you can say whatever you need to say to me. And I may not like it, but I know that you have my best interest at heart, which is a little different than what you was talking about. So I want to give you the two scenarios because I believe that we always have positives and we always have negatives. And even when I'm ministering with the word of God, I show that positive and I show that negative because we have to see the consequences of both. So I can receive that constructive criticism in love. Now, a different scenario, I was recently in a situation where I was totally disrespected and lied on. And the person in authority they allowed it to happen. And they actually condoned what they were saying. And I was livid. I was pissed. And Holy Spirit was like, nope. Fruit of the Spirit. Don't respond to your emotions. Walk in love.
Right.
And I mean, I did not want to do it. Like, I wanted to tell the person off. Because if it's one thing I hate false accusations. And the enemy loves that. And he loves that I hate false accusations because that's been like a spot where he's been getting me. But it didn't work with this particular situation. But if I would have ignored the Holy Spirit, the whole situation would have been jacked up. I probably would have been put out of school. Because I was hot. Go ahead.
Yeah, when you think about Jesus and what he went through and how many lies they told on him and how much they talked about him, they called him a wine bibber and a drunkard and all kinds of things. But he never said a mumbling word. And that
never
is
said a
the
word.
Posture. That is the posture that we have to have because that gives the other person, in my opinion, control. When I allow your word to manipulate me, because that's what it is, it's
Come
manipulation,
on.
You can say something to me that can actually now take over my, I no longer am in control now. You're in control because I am responding to what you said. That should never be.
Yeah.
You can't have my power. That's my power. And I will not allow you or, you know, anyone to take that power away from me because God has given it to me and you don't have it. You don't deserve it. So whatever you say, you got that one. You're going to have to know that that's one you got. You think you got anyway. You think you got it.
See, at 3 o'clock.
If you don't respond to them, that's going to make them boil. Because they really thought they had you. You know what I'm saying? They really thought when they say a certain thing, they really like, ooh, I got her now. And you didn't. Now they sitting at home wondering, darn, she ain't say nothing. What's wrong? You know what I mean? Why she ain't say nothing? I know that was so good. And it didn't. Try again. I got more self-control than that. You don't get that from me. You can't have that. Sorry. Don't give it to me.
Amen.
Don't.
And that's
you in the vein with that. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Never.
And it takes its toll on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're always hearing people doing everything they can to get under your skin or belittle you or anything else, it takes its toll on you. It takes a while to recover from that.
Mm-hmm.
It does, but that's where spiritual maturity. We have to learn from our experiences, and if we don't, we're going to repeat those same cycles until we learn. The spirit of irritation, exasperation, irritation, frustration, and exasperation. The enemy's goal is to get you so exasperated, you caught up in that moment, you open your mouth, you respond, you say something you shouldn't have said, and bam, they got you. But what Marilyn was saying, exhibiting the fruit of the spirit, Galatians 5:21-22, like, hey, self-control. Love is that first fruit of the spirit. Self-control is that last one.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we got to deny ourselves, and it doesn't feel good. But I love what you said, Marilyn, because at the end of the day, when we give into it, it is manipulation. And if you allow that person to manipulate you and to take your power, like, you're going to be powerless, and then you're going to be in this little power struggle. And every time something kick off, you just have to have the last word. You have to have the last say. And everything you say is going to be a rebuttal, and then you just caught up in this whole web in a fight that you should have never been in.
Right.
So,
not
you know,
rendering evil for evil, not rendering murmurous for murmurous. Do not do that. Don't give them back what they gave you. You're supposed to heap coals on their head with your nicety. You know what I'm saying? Because while this person is being mean or trying to be whatever they call themselves being to you, you being at peace, it's killing them. It's killing them. First of all, I go to the rock. That's where I stand at, on that. You can't shake me off of it. Sorry. I'm not giving you that. I can't do it. I have done it in the past. I'm telling you, I used to have a real problem. I don't like nobody lying to me. I don't like nobody putting their hands on me. I would snap out in an instant. It's over. You know what I mean? And then my whole life is over at this point. Whole testimony blown because somebody lying to me. Or I couldn't take somebody saying, what's that saying? Sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never
hurt
you.
Names will never hurt. Mm-hmm.
I had to really take that into consideration. You know what? That is a word. It's a word that was a hurtful word. And I might have to go home and pray about it and talk to my father about it. But you, sir, ma'am, will never, ever get my power in that way. You can't have it. Sorry, but that party, that ship has sailed. You ain't going to get it. In fact, I might call you the next day and send you some flowers or something. That's how much I'm going to heap some clothes on your head. You're going to be like,
now
that, oh, she sent me flowers. What?
Why? Oh, I'm
now
the flower queen.
I just cut her out yesterday. Yep.
Can I piggyback off of that?
Uh-huh. Yes, and then after you do that, then Prophet Deborah is going to read an excerpt from her book that's lined up with our discussion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know we come at, we have people who come at us, you know, every day, all day, with like negative comments and things of that nature. And I wanted to go from the other side of that. Most times we were talking about self-talk, and a lot of times when people come at you like that, it's how they talk to themselves. I'm not saying that there's not evil people out here who are just, you know, the devil done sent his little minions and they just on you and ask you, because that is true. But there are some people who do not do well talking to themselves. So what they do is they come to work, they're frustrated, whatever they've gone through, and by the time they get to you and they talk to you in a mean sort of way, or they're very manipulative, or they're just angry or whatever have you, a lot of times that is how they talk to themselves. And they don't know, they really don't know any better. They don't have the tools to learn how to turn that stuff around and release that stuff out of their system. And it's not on purpose, because I have run into people like that, and I have family members who are like that. And you just, you know, it does take a lot of restraint, and it does take a lot of strength not to, you know, lash out at them or hit them or go upside their head, because that's the first thing you want to do when somebody, because it's disrespectful for somebody to do. And you do. You just want to sit up and say, you want to crack them real quick, because everybody thinks you give your life to the Lord that you a little punk and you start walking around and you all about peace and you floating on air. You know, you got the wings on your back, so you know you don't do stuff like that no more. But you really It takes a lot of strength not to, and realize that this place, the place that people are taken from, is a place of hurt a lot of times. In their own language, and then they take that language and they speak it out to you, because that's what they're saying to themselves.
Right.
I mean, it's a shame, but most times that's what it is.
You know, that's true. But, you know, I still got a little Peter in me, so y'all got to keep praying for me, because when Marilyn, when you were talking, you know how somebody look at you and it's like they eyes and they doing their fingers like, I'm going to get you and ball their fists up. I was doing that. You couldn't see me, though. Like, yeah, I'm going to punch
like
you, right?
Like two black eyes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But at this time, we're going to turn the mic over to Prophet Deborah, and she is going to read an excerpt from her book that is entitled Coming Out of the Darkness, There is Hope After Hurt.
Yes, thank you for that invitation, Sister Stacy. This is my first baby. This was the pinnacle of my shift in my life. I had to first be honest with myself in these pages about what happened. I had to not try to protect the ones that violated. I don't know, somebody has some background noise going on. I don't know, is it me? Okay, and I found some healing in this process. It was a very challenging process to write it because I had to be so honest. And it's the title of the chapter is called "You're Gonna Make It," and this is just a small insert of it. And I jumped down to the part that says, "I'm so glad that I felt that I had nowhere else to go. So I stepped out on blind faith and invited Yahweh into my life. I poured out my soul, my hurt desires, just to him and all to him. It didn't matter where I was and what I was doing. As I washed the dishes on my way to work, as I prepared the kids for bed, I talked to him everywhere, doing everything all the time. He began to make it clear that he heard my cries, not just the cries that I was crying from down in the pit that I was trying to climb out of, but he had heard each and every cry I had ever cried. The ones from when I stood in front of my kitchen window as I would talk to him when I was just 8 years old. The ones that I cried in the schoolyard in the corner by myself after the kids had made fun of me and my black skin. The ones that I cried when I couldn't go nowhere to hide but underneath my coat where I'd pretend not to be crying at all while I sat in the midst of my family who were deaf to my cries. He heard them all and he cared. He had caught each tear that I had ever shed." That's to you, Tanika. "It's amazing how he met me right where I was, full of anger, resentment, despair, and sin. It didn't matter. He met me, ready to embrace me, reassure me, and restore me. He met me. With all the issues that I had, he still welcomed me. With commitment to loving me and seeing me through, he met me. First, he made it clear how much he loved me and how much I would adore a personal relationship with, how much he'd adore a personal relationship with me, while encouraging me to walk with my head up and my heart humble. He directed me, mending the wounds that were long overdue for attention. He'd restore me while protecting me. When my mind would sway in waves of confusion, he offered me peace and contentment." I hope this ministered to somebody that you don't have to come to him to find your value, feeling perfect or thinking you're perfect, looking perfect, smelling perfect. You can still have some Peter, even if there's a little bit of Judas. The Father will show you how much he values you. And this was just a small brief itself. I hope it blessed somebody, because it blessed me rereading it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Woo! You're welcome. Come on, give her some feedback,
you.
Y'all.
Thank you to God. Yes, please. I'm open to it. This was written in 2000 and, oh my goodness, seven. Yeah, but it took me 3 years. I started it in 2004. I couldn't do it. It was too overwhelming for me to do it. But
It was very good. It was encouraging. It was affirming. It was self-reflecting for me to see me how God sees me, no matter. And it also allow me to come to him with all my shenanigans. Because
Amen.
we want to throw all that in the closet and be like, you know what? I'm going to get dressed up and I'm going to go to God. And God is like, go back in that closet and give me all of that. Bring all of that with you.
Right. That part.
We don't, you know what I'm saying? So it allows us to, thank you, Holy Spirit, it allows us to show up flawed, because
yes.
we don't have to be, we serve a perfect God, so we don't have to come to him perfect, because he's the way maker, he's the promise keeper, he fixes us. So we can be broke. And we can be broken, and we can be hurt, but when we don't recognize that, that's the problem.
That part.
So I say thank you for that, because it allows us to recognize our worth. And even if you don't have it all, we know where to start. We know how to start
yes.
seeking. To get to where we need to go. Trust and believe, none of us started off like this. No, none of us started off like, we're in love with the love by the Lord. And no, we didn't start off like that. Listen, I will burn your house to the ground, okay?
Okay. But God, okay. But God, yes. So I was like, yeah, I would be the one that would knock on the, yeah, anyway. But yes, but God. God allows us to come and bring all of our mess to him for so he can be like, you know what? You are the flamethrower, but let me change that. You can kick in doors, but let me change that. You can burn up houses, but let me change. Let's burn them up in the spirit. Let's do drive-bys in the spirit. Let's change that. Let's change that. He's not going to change my roughness because it's needed. But he can change how I respond is what he does. So I thank you for that. I thank you for that because it allows me to just, I can be still unapologetically me, but I can be like, God, you got me. You got me. I know you got me. They ain't getting away. See, I don't have to feel like they're getting away and be like, okay, you sure you want to say that? Because, my daddy don't play. So you might want to watch what you say. So thank you.
Okay. Alicia, thank you so much for that. And Prophet Deborah, we're going to come right back. But Erica has to go, so we're going to get her closing remarks now so that she can leave. And Erica, please give your website address for your life coach business in your cards. Are you still there, Erica? Okay, she might have left because her phone was dying. Okay. But I want to piggyback what you said, Leisha, because it's real. God takes the way we were in the world. He will change some things. But what you just said, can I really say what I want to say? Leisha,
yes.
I'm talking to you, but I said, yeah, can I say what I want to say? Okay. If it's a rumble and it's about to go down, yo, call me, right? Because I'm taking off my earrings in the spirit and I'm putting my Vaseline on in the spirit. It's going down. I'm going to rumble. I'm going to pray and it's going to go down.
Don't forget the Tim.
Look, put my little bandana on. Come on.
Yes,
you know, we don't, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Boom, kicking the door, waving the, then we're going to pray for you later, okay? But we going to handle the business, okay?
But that's, you use that same technique in prayer.
Yeah,
and I mean, You got to wreck some walls. You got to be that wrecking ball. You got to let God, he say, we a hammer. He said, with thee will I break in pieces.
Listen, we have to do like Colossians 4:2 says, we have to let our words be seasoned with salt. No, don't let your words be the salt. Your words are to be seasoned. Like, okay, I understand that's how you feel about the situation or that may be how you feel about me. But guess what? That's not true. And let me show you why it's not true. And you explain that. It's not always the case. You can't always, it's not always a rational discussion because people don't handle, they don't carry, they don't handle corrective criticism very well because they're like, you think you better. No. Yes, I do think I'm better. I do think I'm better because guess what? I'm better than what you see me as. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's some truth to that. Yeah. Yeah. So, you got to speak to it like that because if you timid or if you're not, you got to be sure. Like, all right, God, you told me to be bold and unapologetic. Okay, what is that gonna look like? They're gonna be like, this chick crazy. But guess what? I will wreck some walls in the spirit. Okay. So it
Amen.
Don't matter about what you think or how you hear it.
It matters about how I show up in the spirit. That's what matters. Because God is like, okay, yeah, she got that because she need that. Because, you know, people tend to see you and they be like, yeah, don't try it.
And, you know, even though we laugh and we joke, even though we laugh and we joke, but what you just said is serious, because when we come to God, even in the spirit, and we could be what, you know, he don't want us to be pretentious or to wear a mask, but we still must reverence and honor him. We can't just come any way in his presence. And but we running out of time. It is, we only got 14 minutes left. So I want to do our, for those of you that are new to the panel, we normally close out with closing remarks. So whatever your takeaway is for tonight's show, that's what I want to do. And we're going to start with Maryland, then Alicia can go, then Mike, then Deborah, and then I will go. And Erica left already. And I thank you guys so much. I love each and every one of you. And every person has their own ministry, and we all support each other. And one of the reasons we do this is, I'm saying this is because I just want to show that, you know, believers do get along and women do get along, and our brothers now, Mike has joined us. Mike is just so wonderful, so much insight tonight. But Mike is the founder of Yes You Are. His group is on Facebook. And it's a wonderful, uplifting ministry. If you like what you heard tonight, then you're more than welcome to look him up on Facebook. Yes, you are. He is also a part, he's official member of Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. So you'll see a lot of his information on the official page on Facebook and on the radio page. Leisha Proby is the founder of Wreck the Wall Ministries, and she has a prayer, very strong prayer ministry, and she has Zoom calls that are very powerful for women. I guess men come, I don't know, but right now it's been women. And Prophet Deborah is the founder of Shake Your City International Ministries. And she has a powerful prayer ministry as well. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. And then my sweet sister, Marilyn Yarday, she has her own ministry of prayer. She is a serious intercessor. And she is just, I met her in college, and I just loved interacting with her in our fellowship. And she is a contributor to these discussions. So I just like to put that information out there because reciprocity is important. So that is my cue to let Marilyn, and the way I named it, Marilyn, Leisha, Mike, Deborah, what's your takeaway, your closing remarks? What do you want to say to someone to encourage them?
I want to encourage each and every one of us to know who you are. Believe what God says about you. Believe in yourself. Everything that you have purpose in your heart to do that God has given you and you have to do, know that you can do it. He wouldn't have given it to you if it wasn't for you to do. And anything that negative that somebody has spoken over your life, that it be broken in the name of Jesus, that you don't believe it, that you don't give it credence, that you spend no time dwelling on it. Think on the good, pure, and lovely things, and not those things of negativity. And get a mentor, get somebody that you see walking in their the glory of the Lord, walking in knowing who they are, walking in knowing that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you don't have that in your heart, and you don't have it in your soul, and you don't feel it in your spirit, find somebody that you know that you can see in them that they believe who God says they are and follow after them. And if you don't know Jesus, I ask you to get in touch with him, get involved with him, accept them into your heart, because it will make all the difference in the world. Once you have that relationship with him and he affirms in you who he created you to be, you will be just who he said you are.
Amen.
That was beautiful.
Go ahead.
I want to say thank you, Stacy. Thank you for the opportunity to come on to this this platform and to be able to pour and to be able to help somebody wreck their walls. If you don't know Christ, I suggest that you start inviting him into your situation, inviting him into your life, having conversations with him, develop a relationship with him, because that is how you're going to get healed wholeheartedly. We don't want you to take away we don't want you to go back with your broken pieces. We want you to exchange your broken pieces, give that to God, and let him show you where you can put that piece at, where you can lay that piece down, and later it will be part of your ministry that will save someone else that may come along after you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep showing up. Sometimes we have to show up hurt. Sometimes we have to show up limping. And sometimes we have to show up wounded. But every time we show up, God shows up, and he carries us to the next stop. So that's my take. That's my gem for tonight. Just keep showing up. Keep showing up. Because there's something that God needs you to get. Either something that God needs you to get or something that God needs you to give. So thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to ask you real quick to just give the prayer for salvation for anyone that want to accept Christ, because y'all just went back to back with it, so we can't skip it. Just give the prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, if there is a soul that needs saving, Father God, we would just ask that you would just speak to them and meet them where they're at, Father God. It doesn't have to be bells and whistles, Father God. You are able to just meet them right where they're at, Father God, wounded, injured, alone, insecure, whatever their need is, Father God. We ask that you would just show up and that they would just stretch forth their hands as well as their heart to you, Father God, for them to accept you and to acknowledge you right where they're at, Father God. In the name of Jesus,
yes,
and we know that you can turn it around, Father God, and we know that you are not the author of confusion, Father God. So whatever you are speaking to them, Father God, we ask that they do not turn deaf to what you are saying for them to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. And if you said that prayer, or sometimes you might listen to, somebody is going to listen to this later, if you said that prayer and you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, and you want to understand what happened to you and what you do now, then please get in touch with the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and we can be reached at www.eloquentlyspeaking.com, and we will help you through that process. And we have several ministries here, several counselors that are able to help you through that process. So God bless you, and welcome to the family of God. And Mike, give your comment, and then Prophet DeBoer, and we're down to 5 minutes.
All right, well. Anyway, I just want to say to everybody here that we are not the other people's words, sum total of other people's words, nor are we the sum total of our own mistakes. We are who God says we are. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, as we've said. We are above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. We do matter to God. We are valued by him. We are significant. We are loved. And there's nothing that anyone can ever say to take that away from anybody listening on this show tonight. So I want to encourage everyone to listen to God and hear what he has to say about you, because I guarantee you it's all good.
Amen. Thank you. Prophetess Deborah. Prophet Deborah.
Yes. Bless Yahweh for this tonight. I wanted to share with each and every one of you that still listen that it is, you may not be responsible for what happened to you, but you are responsible through you. So take the time to be kind to yourself. If you haven't received kindness, so that if you haven't received patience, if you haven't received love and unconditional love, you be the one to be the first to do that for yourself, because you are worthy, and know that the Father is going to use everything that happened to you if you allow him to heal you, so that you can learn to value you. You don't have to take a lot of time to teach people how to treat you. They will watch how you treat yourself, and they will follow the leader. Love you and be blessed.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, my takeaway tonight is unity, because I saw unity displayed tonight, and we all shared to help make this possible. You are worthy. You are wanted. You are loved, and you are significant. And more importantly, you matter. Practice loving yourself. Practice self-care. Take some time to yourself every day just to love on yourself. But before you go to bed at night, just capture the events of the day. And if there's anything that happened that displeased you, or anything that you did that displeased you, or you displeased God, deal with it before you go to bed, especially if it made you feel bad, and let it go. Like, don't sleep on it. Let it go. If it could be thrown in the trash, you know, deal with it, throw it in the trash, repent, get up, keep it moving, but go to bed with peace in your heart. Don't be bothered by it, because if you just let that little bit of negativity linger in your sleep, then the enemy could just, you know, work at it the next day. But that's my piece of advice. Don't go to sleep with any feelings of unworthy, or any doubt, any unbelief, any anger. You know, deal with it before you go to bed, so that it's not an open door. And reject the lies of the enemy. Stop believing what people say about you. And it's perfectly fine to correct them. But love yourself, because as you love yourself, your love is going to show. And your light is going to shine, and set healthy boundaries. So this is the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. We thank you so much for joining us. We do meet on first and third Fridays, and we do have an open door policy. If there is a topic that you're interested in bringing to the table, please reach out to me at eloquentlyspeaking@gmail.com, and let's talk about it. This is your table. We thank you for joining us at the table today. Thank you for all of the comments and all of the people in the queue that did not raise your hand. We recognize you. We see you there, and we thank you so much for joining us. God bless everyone. Oh, I wanted to give Erica Burnett is a life coach, and her website is www.pathwaysofreflection.com. And then for Prophet Deborah, her book can be purchased on her website. And Prophet Deborah, if you give your website real quick. And she may not be there right now. And then Mike Smith, his book, Yes You Are, can be purchased on Amazon. So thank you, everyone. God bless you, and good night.
And the subtitle to that is Thoughts and Scriptures to Speak Over Yourself and Others.